Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
I'm really excited about 2024, and I do want to reiterate what Beck was saying. We're super proud of our youth leaders and all the volunteers that went to youth camp. But one of the other things we're really proud about at youth camps, there's always like tribal wars between... And there was a moment on the last day that happened where they announced something. And have we got that video there? Did they get that video happening? Check, crank the audio. Oh, you missed it. Go again, because you missed the most important bit. All right.
The winning team is Beacon
Youth. Yeah. Okay, so there you go. As you can say, our youth, we're pretty excited to win. And I think every other teenager there was scared for their life. We often say, you know, we've got very competitive youth pastors in Bella and Josiah. Somehow it flows down. And it's discipleship, they say. It's also terrifying. Okay. And if you didn't know, they all left on a bus, on two buses, all decked out in fluoro pink. And I thought, my gosh, this is different. And but it's great. It's so good. And, you know, I'm really, as I said, excited to see what happens within the youth. We talk about Redlands for Christ and our young people are leading the way. But don't get lost. Don't be like, oh, I'm too old for this. Be like, I want to jump on board with this, you know. And today I just got a quick message. We're actually launching into our prayer and fasting season. And so who loves a good fast? Not one hand. Yeah, because we're all just like, I love a good feed and... I've been doing that for the last month, and we're actually entering into this season, but I'm actually really excited about this season. I'm going to share why. But first and foremost, if you didn't know, every day, each and every one of us on average makes 35,000 decisions. 35,000 decisions. You made so many decisions before you came to church this morning. Some of you hit the snooze on your alarm. Who did that? I did it 3 times this morning. And I don't know why, because I got up at 5 and I was fresh, and then I went back to sleep for an hour, and then at 6 I'm like, I can't do it, right? But you know, you make these decisions, 35,000 decisions on average, people make these decisions. What do I do? What am I going to have for breakfast? Am I going to have a coffee? Am I not going to have a coffee? Am I going to have the decaf and really fail at life? Or am I, you know, so, but you just got to make these decisions, don't you? And if you start to think about 35,000 decisions every day, it's actually, if you times it by 365, okay, we're starting to get out of control, aren't we? And then we realize that we all have to make our own decisions, and who knows that we can get them wrong? Yeah. Who's starting to freak out about the year all of a sudden? Like, I've got that many decisions to make. Jack, okay, good. Jack Ralph's like, I'm done for the year, right? He's it's like, I'm done. Like, I mean, the reality is I've had it happen. I've had, you know, mentors say to me, as you're just one decision away from disaster. And I'm like, whoa, right? They're heavy. But, I mean, we all have to make right decisions day in, day out. And we do mess up sometimes. We slip up sometimes. And when we go into a new year, we get these new opportunities, new decision making, where we kind of think about the new year and we go, have I got some resolutions? Who's been to the gym this year? Okay, 3 of you. Great. Ties in with a who likes to fast. Okay, that's great. We like to celebrate and party here. I like that. But, you know, we make these decisions at the start of the year and we start to think about, well, what does this year look like? Like, you know, is this year all about making more money? Is it more about sowing into relationships, more family time, less work time, trying to get the balance right? Am I going to take that career opportunity which is going to take me away from family for a short period of time to set up stuff? And we have all of these decisions going on, and I actually just want to encourage you, if you get overwhelmed by decisions, you're not alone. In fact, decision fatigue is a real thing. Every mum in the room, what's for dinner? Okay, that statement, right, is just like, why every night? What's it? Just why should I have to think about that? But that can lead us into a place where we can be a bit fearful of the year and go, I don't know. I don't want to have to make decisions. I want to go away and hide. But I have an encouragement for us this morning when it comes to decision making. And as I took out this time, this last couple of weeks, it's been really nice to refresh. Just to take time out and not just rush into the new, but actually go, God, what is it you have it for us this year as a church? Like, genuinely seek after God, and what is it? And God drew me to a scripture that has just been so profound but so simple at the same time, which I actually love, because sometimes we overcomplicate things. And it's Psalm 34:4. And I want to read this to you. David writes this. By the way, when he writes this, his life is being pursued by Saul. They're hunting him, trying to kill him. And he's going through a lot of stress and anxiety and fear of which way to go, okay? What decisions do I make? Where do I hide? What do I do? At one stage, he pretends to be mentally disabled. Like he's like completely pretends to be like he's lost his mind in this season because he just can't figure out how to deal with stuff. Like David is really going through some stress, but he writes this. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. I sought the Lord and he answered me. Such a simple statement, hey. I sought the Lord and he answered me. And as I read that, I was like, that's my prayer for this church this year. Like every person in Beacon, that the first thing that you go to when you need to make a decision, or the first thing you go to when you're anxious or fearful or down or trying to figure things out and make it work for you, instead of going, I've got to figure out which decision to make, I sought the Lord and he answered me. God is a living God. He's on the move. His spirit is active. And so often we try and take the position of God. I think what Beck said, putting God back on the throne, he is the one that is where we need to go to. I sought the Lord and he answered. You know, throughout the scriptures, it talks about seeking after God. Matthew 7, 7 to 12. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. 2024, would you be brave enough to ask God the things that are on your heart? Those deep desires that are on your heart that you're like, God, I'm going to ask again. I'm going to ask again. And maybe last year you asked and nothing happened. And so you're scared to ask God again. Like I'm scared to ask God because I've asked God that so many years, year in, year out, nothing happens. But maybe, just maybe this year when you ask the Lord, when you seek the Lord, he's going to answer. And I actually believe, I feel wholeheartedly in my heart, my spirit, prophetically that God this year is going to answer. He's going to speak. Your ears are going to be spiritually opened. You're going to be able to hear the voice of God, which way to go, left or right. That you won't slip, you won't fall because God is with you. As I said, maybe this year you came back into church even this morning going, I don't know about church this year. Maybe we won't go this year. Maybe this is the last time. I've seen things that didn't work last year. I asked, I sought those doors. They were slammed shut. But I want to encourage you today, this is a new day. And God is asking you to seek him. I sought the Lord and he answered. I'm excited about 2024. There's just a stirring within my spirit. I love that when David says, I sought the Lord and he answered, it doesn't stop there. The next line he says, he delivered me from all my fears. I want you to think about what you're fearful of. I want you to imagine a year where those fears do not exist. Because of your confidence in the God that you follow. Those fears, those anxieties, those thoughts of what if it doesn't go right, what if it does? What if your God is actually in control of all and you have to fear nothing, all you have to do is seek him? David calls it out. He delivered me from all my fears. A result of seeking and finding. And then in this beautiful statement, he continues. It says this, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. In other words, those that look to him, they shine. They never have a dull moment. Their face doesn't look downtrodden. They aren't full of sadness or fear or worry because they look to the Lord and all of a sudden they shone because they were reflecting the one that they sought. Is that going to be the you in 2024? Are you genuinely going to seek him? I mean, wouldn't it be great if people could say of you in 2024, they always shine. Man, you are, your face, there's something about your face. It's like, yeah, it's a face for radio. No. It's, there's something about you. What is it about you? I just can't deny it. It's because I sought the Lord and he answered. All my fears are gone. And as a result, I'm just going to shine each and every day. Sounds like someone who's a beacon to me. People without fear as you look into the new year. If I was to look over the last 20 years of my life, it's been about 20 years of genuinely following Jesus and seeking Jesus for me. Sometimes we slip away, we fall off the path a bit, we come back, we all know that moment. We come back to seeking Him. But if there's one thing I've noticed about people who seek after God and those who don't have fear, they don't have that anxiety, they don't have that doubt, it's genuinely those people that put their trust in Jesus. They just trust Him. I know my circumstance isn't great right now, but I trust that He works together all things for good. For those that love Him. I love Him, so I can trust Him. The Word of God, holding true to it, just holding on to the Word of God. Can I tell you something? If you want to find God this year, it's going to involve you reading your Bible. Okay? And I know I bring my iPad up here each week, but can I tell you, I don't care how you read the Bible, if it's on your mobile phone app or if it's the physical, you know, the paper or if it's on a screen, but if you're not seeking after God, you will not find Him if you're not opening your Bible. Because He speaks through the Word of God. You know, over the holidays, actually, I had my nephew up and I took him to the cinema. And he's seven. We went to the cinema and we were doing a game called Hot or Cold, all right? So it was just pretty much I Spy, but Hot or Cold, right? And it was his turn. We were actually walking into the cinema at Vicky Point. And he's like, Uncle Az, it's something that I love. And I go, and I'm like, go to the left. Am I getting, and he goes, yep, yep, you're getting blazing hot. It was a snack bar, right? And you're blazing hot, Uncle Az. And I think, you know, when it comes to getting closer to God this year, the more you're in the Word, it's like you're getting hotter. You're getting hotter. You're getting hotter. But so many of us don't even open this and we don't even have a map. We have nothing to get to. And it's like, I never heard anything from God in 2024. But you've actually got to be in it. In it this year. And so the reason I'm so excited about the start of prayer and fasting, I'm telling you now, I don't like fasting, okay? In the sense of neglecting myself of things I like. Like, I like food, okay? And I love being able to cook and enjoy food and I love to celebrate. But there's something about denying yourself of food or drink or something that's of great value to you in regards to connecting to the things of God. And I want to teach you that this today really quickly. Because I want to challenge every person in this church to fast in the next 21 days. I don't care if it's literally for one day, 2 hours. If it's like it's going to be a hard thing for you for a couple of hours or a day or 3 days, a week, or 2 weeks, the whole three. I don't care. What I care about is your heart posture that says, I'm going to lay something down to seek after God. I sought the Lord and He answered. Because there's something supernatural that happens when we give up something that's of value to us and we say, right now, God, it's about me and you and I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice. Now, over the last few years, Beck and I have been here. We haven't done Fresh Air Fast. And there's a reason for that. I've been part of it. We were part of a church for 9 years, Elevation, obviously, before becoming Beacon. And we every year did Fresh Air Fast. And I'm pretty sure you guys would have done that here too. Every year, without fail, start of the year, Fresh Air Fast, 21 days. Get into it. It's prayer and fasting. It's what we do. And the thing about fasting, just like anything when it comes to the things of God, if it becomes tradition and it becomes something that's routine, it often becomes a religious duty and not something else than that. And over the last 3 years, Beck and I haven't felt that there needs to be a strong emphasis on this. And, you know, throughout the year have fasted at different times, but not as a church. So why are we bringing back prayer and fasting? I will tell you this. I felt strongly, Beck and I, as we look towards this year, we felt strongly that we need to set aside the start of this year because this year is going to be significant in the life of this church. Look around you right now. There's not a whole bunch of seats available in this service. A lot of people are away. My heart is that every week we will swell when it comes to numbers. Not because of numbers, but because people in the Redlands are meeting Christ every week. But I'm in this season going, God, I want to make sure I'm setting, and personally as a pastor, as your leader, setting a time aside to go, God, I'm going to lay it down for this next 21 days because I want everything you have for this church. And I want to challenge you to come on that journey with us and actually go, God, what is it that you have for us? The reason that we haven't done over the last 3 years, I remember after about 9 years of fasting at my church, every year, all of a sudden it became like this woe is me time. Like literally people, oh, prayer and fasting. And everyone's walking around going, oh, I'm fasting. And they're blending a Big Mac meal and drinking that, you know, because I'm fasting, I'm only on the shakes. You know, like finding all of these loopholes to get away with it. Oh, it's just a milkshake, you know, like it's still, it's kind of juice, you know. Like the thing is, there's all of these loopholes that were happening and people were getting so religious with it that it was about looking how religious I am and righteous I am. I've lasted this long. But having a downtrodden face and reminding everyone how good they were at fasting. And every conversation was, I'm fasting. You want to go out for dinner? No, I'm fasting. Like it would just become this thing, which is exactly what the scripture said, don't do. Matthew 6, 16, 18, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Woe is me. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What I want to see in this season is a church that says, in my own time between me and God, I'm setting myself apart. I'm giving something up to hear the voice of God so I can be a better version of myself, to live more like Christ in 2024, to reach the Redlands for Christ. Yeah. I'm on mission this year. That's what I want. And I want it to be a place of joy, you know. I'm about to enter into a Daniel fast, which is just like fruit and veg, right? And no meat and no happiness, okay? But I'm going to smile, okay? Give me a carrot. Anyway, so, but I mean this, the reason for it is I'm so eager. I'm biting at the bit. I'm like, God, what do you want to say? What do you want to say? What do you want to say? Already, as I'm opening my scriptures this year, it's just like God's just highlighting stuff. Oh, that's good. You know, and it's just this eagerness to go, God, I want everything you have for me. I want to have a clear line to heaven this year. We know that in scripture, fasting is something that Jesus did. Before he went into ministry, he went into the desert, he fasted. Satan tempts him in Matthew 4:4. It says this, and Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. What a great statement. Very simple. He was hungry, okay? The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. There is a supernatural thing that happens when we give up physical food and turn to God to sustain us. It's a supernatural thing that if you believe wholeheartedly that God can do this, he will do it. He will sustain you, but put God first. We know that in the scriptures that fasting also unlocks things and changes things in the supernatural that cannot happen in the physical. If you've got something going on entering into this year that you cannot move, a mountain that seems so big, a rock in front of you, an obstacle in front of you that is completely impossible to move, you are thinking right now, there is no way this will shift. I'm just going to have to be clever and smarter. Can I tell you, there's something about fasting in the supernatural that can shift that thing in a moment. We know that because in scripture we have the disciples praying for a man who is manifesting, and Jesus says to them, hey, this one, you know, because they're like, what? We prayed for him. The demon didn't come out. And Jesus says to them, hey, this one requires prayer and fasting. There's a shift that happens when people are disciplined enough to give up the physical desire of food and turn to God for a time of listening. I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't ever fasted until 2015, 9 years ago. This time, 9 years ago, I fasted for the first time. I've been in church my whole life. I've heard about fasting. I'm like, it's just not for me, okay? It's not for me. I like my food. It's not for me, right? I'll give up social media, all right? I'll give up something that's lame and I can get away with it, right? I'll give up beer. I was only 12, you know, so it was very easy. You know, so you just find something that kind of falls in easy. But the thing is, the first time ever I ever fasted was in 2015. And the reason I fasted, my pastor explained it like this. He said, when you fast, just like in the natural, if someone loses a sense, someone loses their sight, their other senses, actually, your brain teaches you to increase your ability with your other senses. So you lose your sight, all of a sudden your hearing is next level. It actually happens. Your brain just goes into this whole new space and teaches your other senses to exist. And this pastor said, look, it's like that. When you give up food, your spiritual self, your inner being, you know you're a spirit and your soul, it comes awake and it says, I'm awake now. now I'm going to be able to do some stuff. And so I was like, oh, that's really interesting. I've never really thought about that. So I decided to fast for the first time in 2015. And God did a miraculous thing in that week. For those who know me, and I want to share this story because, and I'm not saying this is going to happen to everyone, I just know how supernatural and how ridiculous it was that I was like, only you, God, could do that. And it was just an answer to prayer and fasting. And I just, it wasn't expecting it. Anyone who knows me knows that I love real estate. I've been doing real estate since I was like 20. And in my early, you know, at the age of 20, bought my first property and spent 10 years of building a property portfolio. And I was pretty proud of myself. Like I was, I'm being smart, I'm being a steward, I'm working my money and being clever. And then the global financial crisis hit and I lost everything overnight. Literally 10 years of my life and work, all my money just gone. And I found myself a couple of years after that actually meeting Beck. And when we got married, we had nothing. We were really broke. And I really thought that sucks for her because I'd worked so hard and I'd had stuff. Now I had nothing. And we were just renting on the Gold Coast. And I did have a heart's desire to get back in and buy something, but we just had no money and I was starting a business and I was a liability and Beck was our income earner. And I was just like, great, this is awesome. And in that season, we actually were renting a unit in a complex on the Gold Coast. And I always still love real estate, but I could never afford anything because I was broke. But I'd always go on realestate.com, like, you know, just always look up stuff. And probably 4 months prior to this fast, I was online and I saw this unit for sale. And it happened to be directly next door to our unit. Like, I'm talking on the third level, the door next to us. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. We love living here. And I looked it up and the guy wanted $485,000 for this unit, this two-bedroom unit. And I was like, oh, that's how much they cost. I'm like, there's no way in hell we can afford that. And so I was like, okay, interesting. And over the next month or so, I noticed it went down in price to about $450,000. And then it dropped to $440,000. And I called the agent and I thought, I just want to look at it. Like, this is really interesting. And called the guy, walked into the unit. And as I walked in, I realized it hadn't sold for a reason. There was a, you know, bong water and druggy stuff and smelt like cat wee. And, you know, like these people that were living in it was disgusting. But I knew that it was a brand new complex. It's only five. And I'm like, it's still a good unit. Just needs a cleanup, right? And I remember saying to this real estate agent, would the guy go any lower? And he just got really aggressive and said, no way. No way in hell, mate. This guy, and he starts telling me, this guy paid over $500,000 for this unit. When he got it off plan, so he probably owes him about $550,000, if not more. He's not going any lower. This is, he's just trying to get some bidders. And I'm like, okay. So I walked away from it. And can I tell you, I try to be clever, you know, I'm like trying to think of all the clever ways to get this unit. And over the next couple of months, I see it go down again and down at $400,000 now. And I call him up. Hey, it's your good friend. would he go any lower? And this guy actually swore at me. Okay, I won't say the word because we're on a Christian podcast. And he told me, don't call up again because there's no way he's going any lower, as that's just how it is. And I remember talking to Beck about it. And she goes, could we put an offer? And I said, we can't afford it. There's actually no way we can afford it. Another month goes by. It drops another $20,000. It's at $380,000, which I'm like, I'm still doing the math. I can't afford this place, but... well, I'll call him again. Will he go any lower? And the guy told me off again, and I said, I'm sorry, and he hung up on me, and I thought, oh, well, okay, God, if it's for us, you'll do something. I remember chatting with Beck and saying, babe, I think we can afford $350,000, but it's going to be an absolute miracle, and that's just crazy numbers, but if it's supposed to be us, God will make a way. Fast forward another month, and we did this fasting thing. And so entering into the fast, I remember just going, God, I just want you to move because nothing seems to be happening in our life. And Beck actually was overseas in the Philippines on a missions trip that week. So I'm at home fasting by myself. And I log on again to real estate. And this unit says 360. And I'm like, what? So I call the same guy again. Hey, mate, it's me again. I can offer you 350. And even then, I don't know if I can afford it. And the guy's just like, do you know he paid $500,000? And he's telling me all this. And I go, I know. I said, if I was him, I wouldn't sell it to me either. But this is what I can afford, and I'm offering it to you today. Just let me know. Oh, I can't even tell this guy you're offering such a stupid... I said, mate, I understand. He got off the phone and said, God, if it's supposed to be ours, it'll happen. The next morning, the guy goes, mate, it's your lucky day. He's accepted. I said, what? And he goes, you better get your stuff together. I called Beck in the Philippines. Hey, we just bought a house. What? Yeah, the unit next door. Like, it, unbelievable. And God restored all that was lost after a decade of trying to do what I was trying to do. I tried to be clever for a decade and it all collapsed on me because I was God of my life, trying to make things happen. And in a moment, just in a moment, God shifted a mountain. Like that place, and you might go, well, it wasn't a miracle. Absolutely. We put new carpet in that and it valued at $500,000 again in 6 months' time. And it set our life up. And I think about that, and I was just there fasting, giving up, and I was focused on God for this week, and in this moment, I just saw God just shift something that's completely stupid. To this day, no unit has ever sold that cheap in that complex. And it's just, it's been a blessing for us our entire married life. But I know there was something in that fasting. And every time I fast, God just does something miraculous. He moves something because I'm like, I'm giving up. What's important to me? Now, it might not happen like that for you, but I will say this. This year in 2024, can I encourage you, if you need to see something move, fast, pray. Test God in this. Like, just actually go, God, you say this. Like, there's so much scripture about this, fasting. Often in a fast as well, God will do something miraculous. If you don't have purpose in your life, often God will bring your purpose to you. And, you know, ever had a situation where you're like, an opportunity presents itself and you don't know how to deal with it, right? Nehemiah, the story of Nehemiah shows us what happens when you pray and fast after you receive that assignment. If you don't know the story of Nehemiah, the walls of Jerusalem, they're completely destroyed. Israel has been dispersed, dispatched. They're all scattered as a people. And in 1 Nehemiah, I'm going to read this passage. It says this, the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. This is the moment where Nehemiah, he starts to feel a call on his life. His people are broken. I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before God of heaven. Notice that something presents itself. It's a big obstacle. Nehemiah doesn't go, I'm going to be clever. He stops and he fasts and he prays. He says, God, what do I do? And then he prays like this. He says, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keeps his commands. He starts telling and declaring the truth of God. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We've acted very wickedly towards you. We've not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you amongst the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the furthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling place for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeem by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. Nehemiah has something presented to him. Maybe it's your 2024. His response is, I'm not going to figure it out. I'm going to pray and fast. I'm going to repent of any sin in my life to get right with God. And then he asks, he says, would you hear my prayer? What did David said? I sought the Lord and he heard me. Now the same thing. It's like, God, hear my prayer. And the prayer that Nehemiah was actually praying was he was a cupbearer to the king at the time. He would taste the wine, make sure it wasn't poisoned, for the king and had a close relationship with the king. And what he was actually praying, he's like, hey, give me favor when I'm in the presence of the king. I want to ask the king if he'll help me on this mission. If you don't know the story of Nehemiah, it's probably my favorite book in the Bible. Maybe later this year we might do a study on it because there's so much in it. In chapter 2, Nehemiah stands before the king who has no interest in Israel or Jerusalem. He has no interest. And Nehemiah says, hey, king, I'm downtrodden. I need to fix my people's, like, we got to rebuild. And there's so much on my heart. Can I go and do it? And the king goes, yeah, okay. So he has this favor. And then he says, oh, I need resource. And the king goes, yeah, I'll resource your dream. Has nothing to do with it. But somehow God takes someone who's completely removed to resource the things of God, which is amazing. But this is the verse I want to highlight to us this year. Chapter 2, verse 8, it says, and because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request. And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request. There's a problem. Prayer and fasting occurs. God's ears are attentive to his prayers. And God's hand rests on Nehemiah. And because of that hand resting on Nehemiah, God grants him his request. And it says the gracious hand of the Lord was upon him. Who would love to have the gracious hand of the Lord upon them this year? In everything. Can I tell you, I'm still dreaming of a building for us. And I'm like, God, I don't care where the resource comes from. It can come for someone who doesn't even care about Beacon. But may your gracious hand be upon me. Do a miracle. Do a miracle. I'm going to invite you into fasting in this 21 days. It's not a religious duty and you don't have to do it. But I'm telling you now, I believe wholeheartedly, this is the year that God's going to answer some prayers. But he actually is going to require you to step out in faith. And what a great way to do it. Prayer and fasting. I'm praying that the hand of God is going to rest on each and every one of us as we draw near to him. I'm believing for your families this year. I'm believing for your finances. I'm believing for so many situations that God himself is going to step in and move mountains, do stupid things that everyone goes, that's not possible. To have a miracle moment like Beck and I had in 2015, to this day, people go, that's not possible. It is with my God. If you're going to fast in this time, do it with intent. Can I make it very clear? Fasting is not a weight loss program. This is not a 21-day challenge. This is not, oh, great, I don't have to eat, so I can lose some weight. No. It has nothing to do with that, in fact. It's everything to do with you and your relationship with Jesus. And if you go into this with an attitude, I'm going to drop some kgs, and that's it, you will hear nothing from God. You'll hear your stomach rumble every day. For some of you, don't fast if it's detrimental to your health. Don't do it. You know, I know that Jewish law, if you're pregnant, no fasting. There's so many different things. Like, just look after yourself. Use your brain, okay? For Beck, she fasts, she disappears. Where are you? Could be an answer to my prayer. I might find you sweeping. Do I drop Mike and leave now? Do I just, yes. Jesus, forgive me. Oh, gosh. It's a very religious moment. Very, very, very serious moment. No, but this is the heart of the next 21 days. It really is that God would show up and show off in your life. And may there be joy in the moments of sacrifice to God. God, I'm going to give it up. And, you know, I know that he is going to answer your prayers this year. Would you give him the time? Would you give him the space? Would you pick up your Bible genuinely? Would you make him Lord of your life again? Put him back on the throne? It's going to be over the next couple of days, next couple of weeks, I'm going to share a bit more on fasting. There's way more to fasting than just for ourselves. Actually, fasting is beyond ourselves. It's a lot about others. You know, I've got some massive things to believe for, people in my life. And this is what I want to, I've got a challenge for you for next week. If there's someone in your life right now, I'm going to say someone in your life is away from God, a prodigal in your family, or someone in your world that desperately needs Jesus. I mean, we all need Jesus, right? But if there's someone, I want you to bring that name with you next week with an expectation that in 2024, they're going to meet Jesus. Okay? And I want you, hey, bring more than one name if you want to. But we're going to do a line. We're going to draw a line in the sand this year, believing that God is going to move and he's going to do far more than we could ever imagine. And so I want you to go away when you're doing whatever you're doing this week, whether it be praying, fasting, whatever, but I want you to come back next week with an intentional name in your heart. I want you to be praying from all week. I want you to come back with the intent, go, God, they're going to meet Jesus this year. Okay? That's my challenge to you. And we're going to continue looking into how fasting and seeking after God is a blessing for others in our community. Because it's not about us, is it? It's about so much more. So we're going to continue that next week. But let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you're alive and you're listening to these prayers that we pray. God, may you hear our prayers in 2024. As we seek you, may you hear us and may you respond. May you answer us. As we draw closer to you, may all fears pass away for 2024, knowing that God, you are in control. You've got it. You've got it. I don't want to wrap up today without just allowing you, if you don't know Jesus, he died on a cross for you to give you a fresh start, to forgive you of your sin and mess that you might have brought into the new year. He wants to wash your slate clean. He wants to give you a new start for the new year, and he wants you to be fully washed clean of the past, that you can walk in confident knowing that God loves you and has forgiven you in the new year. If you need God to enter into your world right now, you just need me to pray for you, and you just need to go, God, I need you. If that's where you're at right now, I just want you to raise your hand wherever you're at. So I want to pray for you as we go into the new year. Anywhere across the room. Yeah, I see that hand. So good. You can put down your hand. So good. Yeah. Is there anyone else that just needs prayer just to start off this year? God, I need you. I'm sorry. Wash me clean. Yeah, at the back there, man. So good. So good. Well, Jesus, I thank you that you meet us where we're at. We thank you that you died on a cross and rose again. That through your blood, through your death and resurrection, we can have eternal life. We can have a fresh start in 2024. You wash us clean. God, I pray for those people that raised their hand that you would wash them clean. May they feel no guilt or shame from their past. It's gone forever. May this year be the year that they draw near to you, God, and their spiritual walk comes alive like never before. God, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.